May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Joshua chapter 8. In Joshua chapter 7 we had a military failure. And in Joshua chapter 8 we have a military success. So the question is, given that they are fighting exactly the same people, the people of Ai, what has happened in the in-between time? Is it that Joshua has been sent to Sandhurst and got some very clever military training? You can break a person down and remould them as a soldier, can't you? No, it isn't an explanation like that which helps understand the victory of Joshua chapter 8. Instead, victory came after obedience to God. We're going to see in this passage that disobedience leads to defeat, but obedience to victory. Victory in this instance involved the killing of the enemies of God. God had told them that when they went into the land, they weren't to try and make peace with their enemies. They were, according to chapter 6, to keep away from the dedicated things, and they were to devote the people they came across to destruction. Now we draw a parallel with ourselves because we are also in a battle, but we're to kill spiritual enemies, the sin and idols that so easily entangle us. We're to put on the armour of God so that we may take our stand in the evil day. And in words that will be very familiar to us now, we're to put to death whatever belongs to our earthly nature, Colossians 3 verse 5. In a recap on 2 weeks ago, we heard in our sermon that Achan in Joshua chapter 7 had some secrets, and he was not willing to go down the path of obedience. He didn't want to kill his sin. So Joshua, and as instructed by the Lord, put him to death. Achan had this beautiful robe hidden in the floor of his tent. He'd stashed it away. It was the spoils of war that he was told not to take. In chapter 7, verse 25, Joshua asks, "Why have you brought this trouble upon us? The Lord will bring trouble on you today." Then all Israel stoned Achan. This was the intervening event that turned things around between what we now call Joshua 7 and Joshua 8. Now, Ben helped us see in his sermon that the church is a body. God uses this image in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if one part of the body is sick, it infects the whole part of the body potentially, which is why we have to deal with sin. And in dealing with the sin of Achan, the ancient church was able to move on. They couldn't have had victory while there was still gross sin amongst them. God had to humble them and bring them to the point that seeing it was a problem. Now we detect that there's a certain problem with pride amongst the people of God, because in Joshua 6 verse 27 we're told, "So the Lord was with Joshua and his fame spread throughout the land." So it's conjecture, but perhaps the fame of Joshua had spread after the victory of Jericho, and maybe complacency was creeping in amongst the ancient church. Maybe they were compromising their holiness. But we can't be disobedient and expect victory. At the level of the individual, rather than considering the people of God, this applies as we see, as we read the words of David. He says this in Psalm 67, verse 18, "If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." So if we cherish sin, the Lord isn't going to bless us. Listen to us. Chapter 8, Israel have another go at attacking Ai, and this time God directs the whole operation. We see this. "Then the Lord," verse 1, "said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai, for I've delivered the people into your hands.'" So God is centre stage again in their thinking. Perhaps they're less in awe of Joshua and his fame and more in awe of God. Now they're living more obediently and they're seeking to honour God. So he gives them this staggering victory against the city of Ai. So let's pause there and just have a think. We can only be faithful and victorious people when we name sin for what it is and deal with public sin. It means that sometimes church leaders will encourage people to not take communion, not to take the bread and the wine, when they're doing something that brings Jesus and his word into disrepute. Not doing so means that the church can be overrun by its enemies. That is, God's presence leaves us, and sin overruns the church. We become lukewarm, unproductive. And it's far better to have God than to have fame, success, and approval of people. It means that we should challenge one another to live holy lives, each one of us. I think it means also that evangelicals have to look at themselves. If we call ourselves Bible-believing Christians, evangelicals, there have been so many scandals in the evangelical world that have come to light in the past couple of years. We can't expect God to bless the cause of the gospel and our networks that we work in for the cause of the gospel if we're not acknowledging our own sin. Certainly we need to acknowledge our sin, repent of it. Otherwise, disobedience leads to defeat. The people have been taught this from the words of Moses in Deuteronomy. If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands that I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. That's Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 to 2. But then Moses says in verse 15, however, if you do not obey the Lord your God and do not carefully follow all his commands, the commands I'm giving you today, all these curses will come on you and overtake you. So when we're living obediently to God and seeking to honour his word, we enjoy the victory and blessings of God. So if obedience is so good, why is obedience so hard? And this is the thing I want to deal with secondly. But it's hard to obey God because God's ways and commands are not the sort of thing we do in our natural selves. And they aren't the sort of things that the world encourages us to do. Think about Jericho and the military campaign earlier in the book of Joshua. We learn that the Lord is going to give them the victory by delivering the people of Jericho over to them. They'll march around the city 7 times and the walls will come down. Seems preposterous, doesn't it? But it was the obedience that was required in this situation. Now in chapter 8, it's the same situation. Chapter 8, verse 1, the Lord says, I have delivered the king of Ai into your hands. But they need to obey God for that to happen. Our job is to obey rather than be concerned by the solutions and scenarios that we think would work better for us. Chapter 8 doesn't contain a plan, really, that looks like a good idea. The Israelites are to advance on the city and then run away. It looks like a back-to-front foolish strategy. As with the city of Jericho, they had to trust that the Lord would fight for them. That's not easy, is it? Joshua is to lure the people of Ai out of the city, we read in verse 6. They will pursue us until we've lured them away from the city, for they will say they're running away from us as they did before. So they're to lure them out. Israel draw the people out. A smaller party of Israelites who've been hidden then ambush the city of Ai. The men of Ai look back, and we're told in verse 20 that they see smoke rising from the city, and they're thinking, this is our city being burnt to the ground. They panic. Then the larger group of Israel that had withdrawn to lure them out turns on them and fights them, and the people of Ai are caught between this larger party now fighting them and the ambushing group, which then come out of the city of Ai. And they're decimated. Now Joshua could have said, I'm not going to go with that plan. It doesn't look wise to me. And although feigning a retreat is apparently a military tactic, it's a very high risk one. It's like when it comes to a penalty shootout. And I was watching one the other day, Manchester United in a penalty shootout. It's like taking a penalty and thinking to yourself, I'll hit it right in the middle of the goal. You can do it, but it's a very risky strategy. Everyone knows that you go as much into the corner and as high as you can, and the keeper hasn't got a chance of getting it. And they were to employ this very risky strategy of withdrawing to draw them out and then to turn on them. Really, you wouldn't want to do that according to your own wisdom. And it's a victory that is very much like the cross. Remember that Joshua is a picture of Christ, with Joshua even being the Hebrew form of the name Jesus. We covered that a few weeks ago. Christ's way of victory was to let the powers of darkness attack him, the enemies of God in their fury to rush upon him. And as he was crucified by sinful man, it looked like complete foolishness. It did not look like the wisest strategy. Christ died. But on the third day, Christ rallied and was raised to life as part of God the Father's plan and in the power of the Spirit. Now, to those who don't know the whole story or appreciate it in its depth, the cross looks like foolish defeat. But that is not the whole story, because there is a resurrection and the tables are turned. As Joshua turned and rushed on Ai, so Christ rose again to defeat his enemies. To share in the victory, you have to obey the word of the gospel, to believe and go with God's plan to save you, even if it contradicts everything everyone else is telling you, even though it looks like foolishness in the eyes of so many, and even though for a time you share in Christ's death so that you might share in his resurrection. So to obey God is hard because it looks like you're losing. Nobody wants to lose. It looks like you're losing. The Lord says, "My ways are not your ways." Isaiah 55:8. So obedience is hard because God often works by what looks back to front. It turns out, after all, that life can come through death, that freedom can come by becoming a slave of another, Christ, that the first will be last and the last will be first, that the kingdom of heaven will belong to those who weep and mourn, that blessed are you when people persecute you and revile you because yours is the kingdom of heaven. God's ways look back to front, but they're actually the way to life. Fighting according to God's plan should be an encouragement. You are on the winning team. If you're enjoying worldly success and everything looks good to unbelievers that's going on in your life, you're probably not on the path of victory. God deals in reversals because he uses a cross and a crucified son to secure victory. Joshua must obey and retreat in order to turn the tables on his enemies. As the men of Ai look back in verse 20, they'll have seen that their confidence was entirely false. The hopes and dreams that seemed so vindicated by their own thinking. Their confidence in attacking the church was false. And that will be so for the opponents of God in the future. And a pile of stones is raised over the king of Ai. So we've looked at why is obedience so hard. Now we're going to look at priorities being crucial in establishing obedience. If you want to be obedient to the Lord God, given the fact that it's so hard, because God's ways look back to front and don't look impressive, priorities are going to be crucial in establishing obedience. Already we've seen from the book of Joshua, when Matthew preached to us a few weeks ago, that worship of God is often not convenient. When the people came into the land, they were to all be circumcised, as we saw in Joshua chapter 5. Now, humanly speaking, that doesn't look like an impressive way to mount a military campaign. It's going to put them out of action for days. And now that we're in Joshua chapter 8, they're to spend time building an altar and listening to the word of God. Look at chapter 8, verse 30. Then Joshua built on Mount Ebal an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, as Moses, the servant of the God, had commanded the Israelites. He built it according to what is written in the books of the law of Moses, an altar of uncut stones. So he's doing this thing that revolves around worship, even though it's not the sort of most sensible thing to do if you're focused on a military campaign. And then chapter 8, verse 34, afterwards, Joshua read all the words of the law, the blessings and the curses, just as it was written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses had commanded that Joshua did not read to the whole assembly, including to the women and children and the foreigners who lived amongst them. We need to be a church that prioritises spiritual activities when we would rather do things in our own strength and things that make more sense to us. When we face difficulties, we don't try and develop clever human strategies to deal with them. Rather, we pray, we study the Bible, and we listen to God first. And that's so for your life. When we're busy, we're to pray more. When we're opposed, we're to seek God more and comfort in him. When we have problems with our with our buildings, for example, we should study the Bible first and say, what does it say about stewardship of our resources? Then we pray before we organize a financial campaign. We spend time with the Lord God, just like they did, before we go to battle. There are many reasons for this. Just one reason: a soldier needs to hear regularly from their commanding officer. We need to spend time in worship, spend time with God before we go into battle. And I want to say, before you try and fix something in your life, make sure that you've given priority to listen firstly to God and to worship Him. So don't take on a new area of Christian service, or a new job for that matter, or a new financial commitment without taking time to have your mind and heart examined by spending time with God, with the Lord Jesus, your commanding officer. Worship and prayer. A true seeking for Him when it is not convenient. So we've seen from Joshua chapter 8, obedience is actually the only way to blessing. We can't say that we're going to live our own way and expect God to bless us. But obedience is hard because God's ways are not our ways. So make sure that you give priority to worship and prayer. I wonder what that will mean for you, to give priority to Christian worship and prayer. Do that on the spiritual battlefield, because then your commanding officer, the Lord Jesus, will make you want to obey Him, and you'll enjoy Him, and you'll be blessed by Him. Amen.